Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Georgia right now working on the number one recruiting class in the entire country for 2018. There are a lot of guys in that class who are fan favorites, and a lot of guys who have high expectations on them coming into Georgia. I don't know that there is a bigger one, though, than five-star quarterback Justin Fields. Not because Georgia needs a quarterback, but just because that Fields is one of those rare generational-type talents that if you have a chance to get him, you go out and get him. It's almost like in the NFL draft, you hear the phrase best player available a lot. You know, sometimes it's not about filling a need. It's about getting the best player available. And for Georgia in 2018, there were few players available any better than Justin Fields, an in-state kid. When you got a guy like that, you got to go out and get him. Of course, Fields is now not just an early signee, but will be an early enrollee at Georgia. And that means that Kirby Smart can talk about what he likes about Justin Fields. And when Smart thinks about Fields, there is one word that comes to mind more so than any other. Here's the coach.
Exciting. I mean, I think everybody knows what he's been able to do. And I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in my time. I thought the best evaluation of quarterbacks is when they go out to the Elite 11, they go to the opening, and I know it's T-shirt and shorts, but you're around some real alpha dogs when you're out there. And he was one of the alpha dogs of the alpha dogs. He took over the opening. He won a lot of games. He made throws. And he did it all while keeping a calm, cool presence that is kind of unmatched. He's never real high. He's never real low. He's really exciting. He can win the game with his feet, but he can win the game with his arm. And he's not afraid of competition. I mean, he's been very adamant that he wants to come in here and compete. He knows we're going to give him an opportunity to do that.
There's that word that Kirby Smart loves to use, not just the quarterback position, but really in all positions. Kirby Smart said one of the reasons why he thinks that the results for Georgia in 2017 were so much better than 2016 is because of the competition. At practice every day was just better because the roster overall was just deeper. That's true, as I said, at every position. It may be particularly true at Georgia at the quarterback position. But while we expect Kirby Smart to talk about the idea of a competition, we expect the idea of him promoting that as a thing this spring, it's a little bit interesting to me to already see the national media paying attention to this as well, because apparently ESPN, much like Kirby Smart, believes there will be a competition this spring between Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. And for ESPN writer Adam Rittenberg, it's one of the more interesting competitions to emerge here for the 2018 college football season. Let me read you what Rittenberg has written at ESPN.com, and I'll explain why I think this is at least somewhat surprising. Rittenberg writes that the good news is about the competition between Fromm and Eason is that Fromm knows the drill. Rittenberg goes on to say he was in Fields' position a year ago, hoping to be a returning starter. Now he has to hold off Fields, a possible once-in-a-decade prospect who enrolled early and will compete this spring. Georgia coach Kirby Smart, Adam Rittenberg says, is a Nick Saban disciple. He won't hesitate to make a change, so Fromm must continue to develop. Once again, that's Adam Rittenberg writing for ESPN.com. And the things that Rittenberg says there are not necessarily wrong. I mean, obviously, Kirby Smart has fostered a spirit of competition at every position. That's probably maybe more true at quarterback than maybe any other position, and Fields is probably good enough to push almost anyone. But you got to understand the context with which Adam Rittenberg writes this at ESPN.com, and that's what makes it interesting to me, is he's looking at one of these lists of, hey, here are the quarterback competitions that are going to be most interesting in 2018, and I'm a little bit surprised they would include George in that group, given the fact that I think that Jake Fromm clearly proved himself over the course of the 2017 season. But for what it's worth, when it comes to the idea of competition, this is something that Justin Fields himself has said that he's coming to in Georgia ready to embrace. Here's a little bit of Fields.
When choosing a college, you can't really worry about who's in front of you or who's played before you or anything like that. I'm not afraid to compete against anyone, so competition can only make you better. Iron sharpens iron, so my goal is just to go in there and just compete my butt off and work hard.
Now, what Fields is probably too polite to say right there is, if you're a five-star athlete, a five-star caliber quarterback, you have reason to believe that you're going to be able to beat out almost anybody that you will play against. And that really is the answer to the question that so many people sort of outside the bubble of Dog Nation and maybe outside the footprint of SEC country have been asking. Why is it that a guy like Justin Fields would go to a place like Georgia that up until recently had two former five-star quarterbacks, and even now that Jacob Eason has transferred, has a guy like Jake Fromm that's so firmly entrenched? Well, the answer I think we understand saying to that is that no matter what we may think on the outside, the guy on the inside, Justin Fields, thinks that he's going to be good enough to win that competition. And that's why he's embracing a competition like he just described there and the ESPN writer described for us a moment ago. But for what it's worth here, while Justin Fields firmly embraces the competition and ready to sort of involve himself in it, Jake Fromm's attitude for 2018, my guess is, won't be any different now than it was a year ago when he was, as Adam Rittenberg said, in Justin Fields' position of trying to overtake Jacob Eason. Well, now Jake Fromm is, for lack of a better phrase, the incumbent. My guess is his attitude remains the same. What is that attitude? Well, he described it for us almost perfectly about this time a year ago. Here's a little of Jake Fromm.
Competing, it's not only making myself better, it's making him better, it's making, you know, at the end of the day, the team better. And I just want to see Georgia football be successful. And, man, I just want to go at it, you know, take it one step every single day and help any way I can.
I truly take Fromm at his word when he says that kind of stuff. I believe that he's ready to embrace competition with whether it was Jacob Eason last year, Justin Fields this year. I think he'll embrace that conversation in much the same way. But here is where I sort of have to, I guess, admit my own opinion on this, is that while ESPN may want to say, hey, what's going to happen at Georgia in 2018 is just like what went on there at 2017, two highly regarded quarterbacks battling it out. And I do think that Kirby Smart will push the idea of competition this spring, and I think he will try to challenge Jake Fromm much the same way that Jacob Eason was challenged by Fromm a year ago. But with all due respect to Jacob Eason, I think it's only fair to point out that the quarterback situation at Georgia moving into the 2018 season is much different than it was in 2017. The truth is, results on the field aside, just individual performances, Fromm just had a much better freshman year than Jacob Eason had. And Fromm enters this upcoming season with a more firm grasp on the quarterback spot than Jacob Eason would have had a year ago. Yes, Eason started, I guess, what, every game but one for 2016, but the overall numbers, like, you know, much lower yards per attempt, much lower completion percentage. The overall numbers for Eason, not quite as spectacular as they were for Jake Fromm. Fromm was among, really not even the SEC leaders, but among the national leaders when it comes to yards per attempt, which is a pretty important, you know, stat to look at when you look at the overall accuracy, the overall command that a quarterback has over the offense. Fromm had a lot of that going on in a big way for Georgia in 2017, so I think his grasp on the quarterback position is just a little bit more firm than Jacob Eason's would have been for 2016. And it's not just that. It's also, I think, the leadership hold that Jacob Eason, I should say, that Jake Fromm has over the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, think back to our time in California getting ready for the Rose Bowl. When Kirby Smart talked about Jake Fromm then, he talked about a guy that was not just getting it done as a quarterback statistically, but also those sort of intangible things we expect a quarterback to be able to do, be a good leader, have command, control of the huddle. Fromm was doing a lot of that kind of stuff for Georgia as a true freshman this year as well. As a reminder, here's what Kirby said just a couple of weeks ago.
Jake continues to grow and mature. There was times that we were on the road and he led to help the team do 7-on-7s. He's grown as a leader among the team, and I think with each game and each situation he gets involved in, he tends to play better and understand the offense better. So they make the other players around him much better.
Y'all know I like Justin Fields a lot. I think he's a great addition to Georgia's roster and an important part of Georgia's future. But the guy that Kirby Smart just described right there, Jake Fromm, that kind of quarterback is not getting beat out in the spring or summer moving into a sophomore year after what he just did as a true freshman. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the overall more likely role, more likely way that Justin Fields contributes in 2018 may have been described by another national writer recently. Andy Staples was writing about Georgia at SI.com. And what Staples said about Justin Fields, I think, probably makes the most sense here. He says, don't be shocked if what Georgia does resembles the Chris Leak, Tim Tebow situation at Florida in 2006. It'll be a package for Fields that could give the Bulldogs a change of pace on offense and force opponents to spend valuable time practicing for it. Once again, that's Andy Staples there from SI.com. I think Staples is ultimately right, and it's kind of the bottom line for me on this discussion. I appreciate the fact that ESPN's already interested in what's going to go on between Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. When you have two players the caliber of Fromm and Fields, Fields who's sort of the prospect who hopes to prove what Jake Fromm's already proven, but when you have two guys who already have that kind of cachet, that kind of name brand status, you can't help but be interested in what goes on here. But the actual results themselves, I think, are fairly easy to predict. I think Jake Fromm is almost certainly going to remain the Georgia starter for the entirety of the season, barring some sort of injury. I think that Justin Fields will also almost certainly play in some form or fashion, maybe a little bit like Tim Tebow did for Florida in 2006, where it is a special package of plays, an opportunity to be on the field. Fields is probably too good of an athlete to stay on the bench for the entire season. But Fromm, I believe, has too much of a stranglehold in the starting quarterback job to lose it to an incoming freshman for this spring. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. And listen, I'm as interested in you to see how all this quarterback stuff plays out between Fromm and Fields. We'll all kind of weigh in and give our opinions on that from time to time. And we'll obviously lead into a pretty interesting spring practice when we see both these guys on the field together and maybe even competing against each other coming up at G-Day. For now, though, let me remind you, the Dog Nation Daily, available for you a lot of different ways. We're glad you've accessed the program, no matter how you've gotten here, whether it be watching us on Facebook Live at 10 a.m., on the Dog Nation Facebook page, listening to us at noon on the radio on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or checking us out in podcast form. It's on demand. It's easy to access anywhere in the world, any time of the day or night. I post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. It's iTunes. It's SoundCloud. You've got a lot of ways to get Dog Nation Daily. We are glad that you've gotten us here for that today. I will remind you, by the way, speaking of recruiting and how this 2018 class comes together, if you want a great preview of what the final few weeks of the recruiting push for 2018 are going to look like, a great way to do that is this upcoming Tuesday at the Marlowe's in Sandy Springs for our Dog Nation Countdown to Signing Day event. The address is 5590 Prado Place. For those of you listening to the show, I'll say it one more time. 5590 Prado Place in Sandy Springs. It's the Prado location, of course. It's this upcoming Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. I'm going to be there. Jeff Sintel is going to be there. I believe the folks from Tailgate Apparel are going to be on hand. They'll be doing some, I think, some giveaways, showing off some of their stuff. A special guest expected to be with us. It's all coming up this Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Sandy Springs. A really, really fun way to get ready for the final push towards National Signing Day in February, and to figure out how George's going to hold on to this number one class. A great off-air conversation with Jeff Sintel. He'll let a little secret or two slip in that conversation, so we'll look forward to being a part of that with you coming up this Tuesday at the Marlowe's in Sandy Springs. A moment ago, I mentioned something from Andy Staples at SI.com. And I actually wanted to take a minute here to read another quote he had about the Georgia Bulldogs recently, because I think this sets us up for a pretty interesting conversation here. He was talking about, you know, outlook for Georgia for 2018. And I thought he said something that, you know, some Georgia fans I think are going to have an interesting reaction to. If you're watching us on video, you can see it. If not, I'll read it to you. Staples writes, "If Georgia makes it back to the college football playoff in 2018, the Bulldogs might be a year ahead of schedule. The target year probably should be 2019. Given the resources and recruiting base at Georgia and the way Smart seems to be building, competing for a playoff berth should be a reasonable expectation every season from 2019 forward." So that's Andy Staples, SI.com, and what he doesn't say there but does insinuate is that there is a schedule in place for Georgia that may have been a little early for 2017, and in 2018, maybe you see some more of those growing pains. Dealing with the loss of Roquan Smith, who left as a junior to go to the NFL. Dealing with the departed seniors, guys like Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter. You may feel some pain of that absence in 2018, but be back to competing for championships again in 2019. What do Georgia fans think about that? I'm actually a little curious to hear the response of some Dog fans. I think I do know what Kirby Smart would say, though, when it comes to the idea of there's a schedule and Georgia's next scheduled appearance in the college football playoff is 2019 and not 2018. Well, Kirby Smart's already told us what he thinks about these kinds of schedules and the idea that a program builds at a certain rate and there's some sort of predetermined clock for when you achieve championship success. Kirby Smart, of course, doesn't believe in any of that stuff.
I've repeatedly said the same thing. There is no schedule for winning championships. So the objective is to get the most out of every team that we can. And that's what we tell our coaching staff every week. Our job is to prepare them to be the best they can be in the game, to get the most out of them. Then at the end of the season, we look back and we say, did we get the most out of this unit, this team that we possibly could, withstanding injuries, withstanding circumstances that you can't control? And that's what we'll do at the end of this year, and then we'll do the same thing the following year. But I think everybody wants to say that this is the schedule. There is no schedule. The only thing there is what you have and what you do with what you have. For us internally, we want to do the best we can with what we got.
So I think that's what Kirby Smart's response to Andy Staples would be, but there is also a point in which Andy Staples is probably making some fair assessments of Georgia here. If you compare what we expect Georgia to look like in 2019 to what it will look like in 2018, there's reason to believe the wide receiving core in 2019 will be better, because at that point you may have added Jaden Hazelwood, Dominic Blaylock. There's reason to think the secondary might be better, because some of the recruits you hope to bring in for 2018 will be a year older. Some of the guys from the freshman class of 2017 will also be a little bit more seasoned, a little bit more experienced. There's reason to believe that both those groups will be better. A little bit more aged experience for DeAndre Swift, for Jake Fromm, for Zamir White, others. There's reason to believe that 2019 as a roster will be better than 2018. But does that mean that the 2018 roster won't be good enough to be back in the college football playoff? It kind of goes back to what we were talking about at SEC Country Live yesterday, where we were talking about the Mark Schlabaugh way too early top 25 at ESPN.com, where he has Georgia fifth behind teams like Ohio State and Oklahoma that also have to replace a lot of talent for this upcoming season. What I said on the show yesterday is for a lot of non-Georgia fans who think that because Georgia's having to replace a lot of talent, it's not going to be good this upcoming season, they may be disappointed. But as far as being back in the college football playoff goes, obviously that remains to be seen. If you want to weigh in on the subject, you can do that in the comments section right now, or hit me up on Twitter at DogNationDaily. For now, though, let's get ready to turn our attention back to recruiting, and let's get ready to talk to Jeff Sintel.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily. And Jeff, I know you're like me. You've probably been pulling your hair all the week trying to figure out how to take care of your kids. I'm sure I don't know, are your kids here on this Friday? Are your kids back in school today? My son did go back to school today, finally. I'm sure you've been like me trying to figure out how to navigate through this week of child care and a little restless children after a cold week being indoors most of the time, right?
Yeah, Brandon, that's funny you mentioned that. It becomes a kind of a challenge to see which county school systems are tougher than the others right now, or maybe which ones have better roads and better bus route infrastructure, or county DOTs or whatever. But one of my neighbors in my subdivision put out a stat, and this is a big one, Brandon. I think somewhere around out of the last 25 weekdays our children could go to school, I think they went to school about 5 of those days. It's getting to the point where I'm going to have my 9-year-old start answering questions about Tyson Campbell with you in a minute or so.
Well, I got to give credit here to my home county, Forsyth County, standing tall today. Full day of school, regular on-time arrival, regular on-time dismissal. So shout out to the folks in Forsyth County for kind of getting back to a regular school day here. It does sort of make it the sort of rare county in the metro Atlanta area in terms of doing that full day, I guess.
I wonder if a county commissioners or chamber of commerce could ever market the fact to potential home buyers. We have fewer snow days than anywhere else in the metro area. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just sitting here looking around and thinking, we got our kids' teachers sending in homework via email because they're trying to help us out and give them something to do, because we're going stir crazy over here in the Dog Nation Recruiting Bureau here.
And let me say just one more quick point on this subject, then we'll get on to the recruiting talk. Like, the people who work with us every day, like Hannah and Michael, they're young. They carefree lifestyle. They have, very little responsibility. Like, they love these snow days, Jeff. All they do is sit at home, watch Netflix, and, pop popcorn, whatever else. They just kick back and relax. It is nothing but work for people like you and me. I'd much rather have been doing Dog Nation Daily and SEC Country Live on Wednesday. Not that I don't love my kids, but that's just a lot of extra work, right? I mean, these young single people have no idea how challenging these snow days can be.
Well, you know what, man? It's all a cycle. Their day's coming, and there'll be a chance when the Brandons and Jeffs of the world are comfortably got those kids in middle school and high school,
that's right,
and they don't want to be anywhere around the compound. And we can just kick back and laugh and say, yep, I knew what that was like.
I cannot wait for those days to get here. So I want to talk to you about something I was talking about before before you joined us on the show, and that is ESPN kind of put out its list of quarterback competitions to watch for in 2018. It included Justin Fields and Jake Fromm in that discussion. Jeff, I understand where this comes from, because Fields is one of those, as has been described, potential generational-type talents. I feel like, though, that, you know, based on the way that Fromm played this season, based on his command of the team, command of the huddle, the leadership that he's shown, I feel like he's got a stranglehold in this, on the starting job almost for sure. And yet I also feel like Fields will probably find his way on the field in some form or fashion. Is that about your assessment as well of how you think Fromm and Fields are going to play out here this spring, this summer, heading into the fall?
Well, that's a good way to look at it, Brandon. I think I haven't seen that list, but I hope that Jalen Hurts and Tua is the number one hot button quarterback competition to look for in 2018. Because to me, that really feels like there's some momentum there. There's a sense of one guy not being able to open up the offense fully where the other guy can. And I don't think that's the situation there with Fromm. If you had to look, I would think about a list of quarterbacks that returned for 2018, at least in the SEC, about guys that have done everything necessary in 2017 to earn the right to take number one reps in 2018. Fromm's got to be way, way up there, up on that list. And I think it's kind of funny, Brandon. We talked about history repeating itself in that opening with kids and school children and buses and stuff like that. But I'm going to find a lot of the same things are going to be relevant to Fields competing with Fields competing with Fromm the same way Fromm is going to be competing with Eason. These are the things that you just got to know that's happening in college football if you've watched it for any sort of time. When you have a quality entrenched starter like Eason was, that job has to change hands on the field. One guy's got to show he can move the team better and that the offense just simply functions better with the other guy on the field. And that had to happen on the field. I even thought, even before the knee injury from Jacob Eason, that the Bulldogs were going to show a lot of Jake Fromm during this freshman year, simply because you got to get that number two ready, because everyone knows one play away from having your season, or at least the steward of your season on the offensive side of the ball, changed drastically. So I do think Fields, let's face it, he's going to get all the second team reps coming in. He's going to be there early. He's going to get ready. But I just think what Mr. Fromm has done so far for Georgia, the way he prepares, the way he works, the way he has kind of total respect to the team, I just think that's going to be very hard for Justin Fields to shake. And it's going to have to take Fromm taking a step back for Fields to get the opening. And that's, I think, based on what we saw last year with Fromm, it's going to be very hard to do, because this young man is only going to get better. Georgia's offensive line is going to get better. Their receivers are going to get better. Things are only going to get better for Georgia with Jake Fromm at the helm for 2018.
Can you update me on Quay Walker here for a moment, the linebacker from Crisp County, who just, by the way, got a fifth star from 24/7, still a four-star composite, but picked up the fifth star from 24/7. Coming off the Tennessee visit a week ago, I believe that the timeline had him taking his Georgia visit then late, the final weekend maybe before signing day. You wrote this week, though, you thought there was still a chance that happens, I think, this weekend. Can you update us on when Quay Walker is expected to visit Georgia, what we know about that at this point?
Brandon, I don't think anybody really knows about that at this point. I keep hearing conflicting information, and what I do is I try to get a kind of total picture from several sides of the fence and other stakeholders with a lot of this news, and it's kind of all over the map. He was going to be at Georgia, then he's not going to be at Georgia. I think Quay Walker's situation is just going to go back and forth. He's going to be that guy in terms of a big recruit over the next 3 weeks. You've got Tennessee's interest. Will he still return to Alabama and give the school he's committed to an official visit? Where does, you know, Florida seems to be phasing in and out. Georgia's kind of at the center of all this. So I kind of think Quay Walker, there's a danger here for me. Well, not for me personally, of course, but like there's a danger here for me. Whereas Georgia might just say, okay, we got 5-6 quality guys that we have high on our board. There's only going to be a point where we're going to wait so long, where Georgia will wait so long for, I guess a very conflicted a very drama-filled, not so much public drama, because Quay Walker's not granting a lot of interviews right now, but that just seems like another complicated recruitment coming out of Crisp County. And there may just come a point, no matter how vastly talented Quay Walker is, that Georgia hears enough yeses from enough quality guys at the top of their board that Georgia might just choose to look elsewhere.
So, and we'll talk about where they may go elsewhere, because I think that, you know, the Georgia fans are going to have the same name in mind for that, you know, potential replacement for Walker. But just to sort of rehash something we talked about a bit on Tuesday, it sounds like this Tennessee visit for Walker was a game changer, right? Before he goes to Knoxville, I mean, I think most mock classes may have had Walker coming to Georgia. The Knoxville trip seemed to have changed things for Quay, knocking Florida completely out of contention, maybe, changing the calculus here for Georgia. It looks like that Walker visit to Knoxville was a pretty significant moment in his recruiting timeline, right?
It was, but at least he didn't do something like J.J. Peterson did and sight unseen commit to Tennessee before getting there. I just want folks to remember, there are good folks there, like Mike Rump, Charles Kelly, Kevin Shearer, definitely, Jeremy Pruitt, definitely. And you're going to expect to see Tennessee make some of these gains and chalk up some of these wins on the recruiting trail that Georgia did in its first 2 years under Kirby Smart. That staff knows what it's doing. That staff has aggressive recruiters, and they know what to sell young men about building championship teams because they've been there. I just think that Tennessee, Pruitt, Scherer, those guys are going to get it done and get it done at a high level, especially a lot higher level than Butch Jones was ever doing at Tennessee. But that's the way the SEC is supposed to be. It's the biggest and baddest league for a reason. And Georgia does have a lot of advantages on Tennessee, where the program's at, its maturity, wins and losses, the chance to play right away. I know most detractors that scratch their head on our message board forum that wonder about Quay Walker will sit there and they'll go, why would this gentleman want to go play there when he would probably be part of a rebuilding effort for at least 2 years, wouldn't be able to play right away, whereas he could probably play right away to Georgia, be a part of some big substantial games really early in his career. But that's kind of the mind of how a fan would think and not the mind of how a top prospect like Walker would think. Let me tell you, Brandon, things are getting so jumbled up at that board for Georgia. And these are the names everybody's hearing. Leon O'Neal is a name they should think a little bit harder about. Tyson Campbell is a name that we've been talking about for at least 2 or 3 months heavily now. Otis Reese is a guy. It's kind of like splitting the hairs like we did on our last segment on your show, Brandon, trying to figure out is Otis Reese the guy or is Quay Walker the guy? Different type of players, but they both have a lot of exclamation points on their field and would be a great asset to any championship-type defense going forward. There's Jordan Davis. There's Tramell Walthor. There's Tommy Bush. And, Brandon, keys in the block today, man. I'm not in the business of short-term clicks or goose chases, but I had a conversation with Rick Sandage on the Rick Sandage situation, a key source very close to that decision. And I was told, and kind of matter-of-factly, that the narrative that's out there about Rick Sandage being a Carolina lead and yada, 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 kind of not that case. Rick Sandage and Georgia are kind of really right there. I'm not going to paint a picture and say that Georgia's the leader or expect this or expect that. I'm simply going to say that Georgia and Carolina are kind of on even ground right now, looking eye-to-eye on the matter regarding Rick Sandage at this time. Now, Sandage is going to take an official to North Carolina this weekend. Just took an official visit to Georgia this past weekend, and that thing went very well.
That is huge news right there, and a great plug for the Centel Intel, by the way, to check out more about Rick Sandage, because, Jeff, you know this. You know, Georgia needs defensive tackles. You know, that's a position of strength for Georgia on its roster right now, but, you know, with Trent Thompson leaving and with, I think, you know, relatively small group of defensive tackle signed for the 2017 cycle, you know, you kind of sort of include Devontae Wyatt as sort of a half member of both these two classes. Georgia's going to replenish those coppers right there, so finding a way to get Rick Sandage I think would just be a huge get for Georgia, and I'm definitely going to read every word of that blog today because, you know, Kirby, Sandage, we saw them together last weekend in Athens, and I just think that's one of those really interesting wild cards that could still be out there for Georgia for this 2018 cycle.
There's a parallel here, Brandon, that just comes to mind with how Georgia recruits, and it's kind of like picture the Adams family going down the aisle at Costco and maybe, you know, someone saying, do we really need that supersized pack of bacon or eggs? Can we deal with all that? And kind of parallel that to 4-star elite defensive tackles. And eventually Georgia's going to say, yeah, we're going to get as many of those guys as we can. Of course, that complicates matters. If Rick Sandage says yes, then what does that mean for Tramell Walfour and Jordan Davis or Tommy Bush, yada, yada, yada. It's just a very it's a very interesting picture. And it seems like, you know, Brandon's playing let's make a deal, Monty Hall. And behind all of these doors remaining for Georgia looks like a quality elite prospect where you're going to like whichever four doors Georgia is allowed to open or can open down the stretch run of 2018.
Let me go back to another name that you mentioned a moment ago, and this is obviously the sort of counterpart name that we always seem to mention with Quay Walker. You did a good job of kind of laying out this issue on Tuesday, and that's Otis Reese, the linebacker from Lee County. Asa Owen in the comment section was like, I want Otis Reese. Jeff, I have to admit, you know, my concern with Reese is, you know, to compare what you've said about Walker to what some of the message board people say about Otis Reese from time to time, that, you know, you call Walker a true three-down linebacker, the kind of guy that can sort of, you know, stay on the field and play kind of, you know, a variety of roles for Georgia. It seems like some people online think that Reese may be almost like more of a safety than a linebacker. I mean, is Reese just as good a prospect in your mind as Quay Walker is?
Yeah, it is, and it's kind of like position fit. Personal preference. Both of these guys are, you know, to use the 2017 term, they're really savages on the field. They get after it. They're going to have grit. They're going to just really pummel the ball carriers. They're going to flash in space. Maybe the best job I can do of kind of teeing things up for everybody to kind of figure it out on their own, if they were doing the evaluation about who they want more, is, would you rather have another Alec Ogletree or another Thomas Davis? Would you rather have another Thomas? Would you rather have another Greg Blue or Bakari Rambo type, or would you rather have another guy that's, you know, an impact linebacker for Georgia that can play all over the field? I mean, these are two very versatile players that are thirsty for the contact. They love to hit. They love to get after guys. They like to impose their will and play with a certain brand of physicality on the field. And I just kind of look at it as, you know, I kind of toss out metaphors a lot on this show, man, but it's like, do you want the nicest thing on the BMW lot, or do you want the nicest thing on the Bentley lot, the Rolls Royce lot, the Ferrari lot, the Porsche lot? That's kind of really what we're talking about there with those guys. And I don't know how Georgia adds both of those guys, plus a Bush, plus a Campbell, and then plus checks off their Costco shopping list still for defensive tackle.
Yeah, that's really an interesting thought. Can you give me another preview of something else I should be looking for this weekend? If I've got my ear to the ground when it comes to social media, what should I be listening for? What should I be looking for from one of the final weekends here before we get to that February National Signing Day?
Well, it's going to be, where does Quay Walker show up this weekend? Is it Georgia? Is it Alabama? Is it somewhere else, a wild card team? Is it Florida? Is it another unofficial to Tennessee? But then the other thing is you're going to have still a steady trickle of visitors to UGA. I think folks got to remember a lot of these guys are signed, but they never took an official visit. Luke Ford currently plans to take his official visit to UGA this weekend. Never got one of those as an uncommitted recruit. Also, Tramell Walthor is going to take his visit to Georgia this weekend, his official visit to Georgia this weekend. Last communication I got from him was that he was saving his official visit for the weekend of the 19th. So that's another guy to think about as well. While we're on the subject of defensive tackles, I hope everybody got a chance to read the recap of the conversation I had with Trey Scott about his defensive line room.
Yeah.
And maybe what he wants to see out of that position. And then the other thing that I thought was probably a standalone story in its own right, but I just put that in there because it was topical. But Coach Scott indicated very pleased with what he's seen so far with Devontae Wyatt. Feels he is a special talent and he just needs to work on technique and his motor and things will be just fine. And he does expect Devontae Wyatt to play right away and play early, given the way he works and he grinds for Georgia in 2018. Devontae Wyatt is going to be a bona fide contributor on the line for Georgia next year. And I don't know if that had ever kind of been sized up quite that way before.
That's one of the cool things about these, you know, national championship college football playoff practices. You gave guys like that a chance to be actually already working with Georgia. Wyatt did some of that. Cade Mays did some of that. It's kind of nice to see those guys already wearing Georgia uniforms here early on in 2018. All right, a couple other quick issues, and then I'm going to let you go, Jeff, because I know you get a lot going on here today. You mentioned Leon O'Neal earlier, and I think we got the picture of Mel Tucker taking a visit with Leon O'Neal, and this is a good-looking safety from Texas in the picture we're showing on screen. He's wearing that throwback Charles Barkley Phoenix Suns jersey. Jeff, don't get me wrong. I am not going to in any way be ungrateful for a chance to see what looks like a pretty good prospect from a really good football state like O'Neal in the mix for Georgia here. But I have to admit, what is going on with a safety this late in the process, given the fact that Georgia signed about 25 safeties in the class of 2017? Does Georgia need Leon O'Neal? Why have we seen his name pop up here so late in the process?
Well, Georgia's been in his top four for forever. He has visited the school already. Does he take another official? Probably that visit from Coach Tucker was made in the attempt to show the interest that would derive an official visit. I'm going to tell you this, Brandon. I wasn't at the Army All-American game this year, but we had guys from SEC country that were there. I talked to colleagues that are also scouts. I talked to coaches that were there. Basically, the picture I got on Leon O'Neal is he was probably the guy you want rather than Ivan Taylor Stewart if you had to choose between the two. A guy that just made a lot of plays, very physical. I encourage everyone to check out his film online. You can find it on Huddle. You can Google it pretty easily. But this guy is a guy that can do a lot of things. He can cover. He can hit. He can run. He's also very elusive. There's one of his clips in particular where he puts on a highlight interception return that even, folks that try to follow in the path of a great Deion Sanders would appreciate. Big-time athlete. And I think, remember, Brandon, this is a new Georgia with recruiting here. It's not so much as, okay, we need this guy, do we need this guy? The quickest and easiest way to surmise the way Georgia recruits now is they're going to get the 24 best players, yep, they or 25 best players they possibly can, point blank, end of story, period. And that's just the way they go about it. You know, you mentioned quarterbacks earlier in their show. Well, there's a guy by the name of Sam Howell that just got an offer from Georgia in 2019, and he's the nation's number four pro-style quarterback, even though he's a great dual threat. Look at his film. He's got 34 passing touchdowns and 22 rushing touchdowns. And everybody's going to wonder, how in the world can Georgia get another guy Fields from, yada, yada, yada. But it's simply not the way Georgia operates anymore. There's no more succession plan or two-year gap. Georgia is simply going to go after the very best quarterback. I think maybe a recruiting model to follow, even if they didn't have just two guys on scholarship right now, is I think Georgia is simply going to try to sign the very best quarterback it possibly can every cycle. And then that way, the kind of hot mess that the quarterback spot was in right around 2014, 2015, never surfaces again.
All right, quick final question, then we'll let you go. We're always appreciative of your time. We seem to go a little long these times of year leading up to signing day. But you mentioned Isaac Taylor Stewart. I know that, you know, he said he was going to reschedule his Georgia official visit, you know, given the fact that I guess he moved his Alabama visit and to that date there. Seems like, though, the ship may have sailed with Taylor Stewart and Georgia here, that Georgia's seemingly from a cornerback situation focused solely on Tyson Campbell, and Taylor Stewart's going to go where he ends up going. Is that your read on this, or do you think that Georgia is still somewhat in the mix for Isaac Taylor Stewart?
Well, he mentions he wants to visit Georgia. He wants to visit Tennessee. I think he had an interview when he reached the Polynesian Bowl, even after he said he wasn't going to be given any more interviews. But I guess those interviews in Hawaii do not count. But he gave an interview where he talked about he still planned to reschedule all of his officials. He's spending a week in Hawaii. He's got all this time. He needs all these official visits he still needs to take. I would gather this. If anybody wants to put 1 + 1 = 2 together on this, if Isaac Taylor Stewart never takes an official visit to Georgia, that likely means that the Bulldogs are in very good shape with Tyson Campbell. Also might indicate that the Bulldogs are in very good shape with another guy like maybe a Tommy Bush or even a Leon O'Neal or even a guy like Otis Reese, Rick Sandage. Georgia is in a power position right now in terms of recruiting, which I mean is they have a lot of leverage with a lot of guys as a brand name, a hot team. a young team with a young coach, great facilities that are popping up. So if Isaac Taylor Stewart does not take the official visit, the cross-country official visit to Georgia, that likely means a lot of other good news for those remaining four slots in the class.
Jeff, it is always a great privilege to have you here on Dog Nation Daily. It's always a lot of fun. Hope that you have a great weekend. Hope you get a little bit of rest here. I know you'll be covering all this stuff pretty closely this weekend too. But we'll look forward to speaking to you both Tuesday once again here on Dog Nation Daily. And then that night, Tuesday night, the Marlows in Sandy Springs. That's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, guys. I look forward to seeing everybody out there. And I'm sure the roads will be cleared by that time. Everybody have a good weekend.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So two big takeaways from me from the Jeff Centell interview and just sort of perusing our comments there on Facebook Live. I think we're kind of on the same page here. Interesting that Jeff is, for the moment now, pretty bullish on the idea of Rick Sandage, a guy that, you know, I called maybe a bit of a long shot back on Tuesday's edition of our program. But Jeff may be saying, not saying it's a done deal, not saying it's in the bag, not saying anything like that. And you can read more about it from his Intel Intel piece at dognation.com to get more of his sort of unfettered perspective on Rick Sandage. But certainly giving Georgia a good shot here with Sandage, that's a guy that'd be on my list. However many, you know, spots you want to say that Georgia has left, depending on what happens with the committed unsigned guys. Sandage would be one of the guys that I'd love to see Georgia add here late in the process. The other takeaway from me on the Jeff Centell interview, and some of y'all were kind of pointing this out as well, did Jeff step on a rubber duck in the middle of the interview? It sounded like all of a sudden Jeff was talking, and we heard like the saddest little quack ever. I hope that was a rubber duck. I assume it was. I don't believe that Jeff was in a duck blind, as he was calling into our show, but some of y'all also seem to notice that as well. You just heard this at some point in time during the interview. But listen, no matter what, crushed rubber ducks, anything like that, Jeff just plows right ahead and delivers the recruiting information we've come to expect from him, and we certainly appreciate that. We also appreciate our friends at MyBookie. They certainly help bring Dog Nation Daily to you each and every day here. And, of course, my friends at MyBookie right now, they got a great offer for you. And this is an important time to be thinking about this. We're actually talking about conference championship games before the show today. Not the college conference championships, but the actual pro football conference championships that go on this weekend. A chance to get some bets down on those. The place you want to go is the place where the pros play, at mybookie.ag, because they're known for the fast, no-hassle payout when you win. I'm talking about like 2 business days. You can get your money back, which is a big deal when you win. You want to be able to collect that money. MyBookie gives you a chance to do that, but they also give you a chance to be a winner before you even get your bet down, because your first deposit can be matched up to 100%. But you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION, spelled the way it's supposed to be, D-A-W-G, Dog Nation. The website, mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid, simple as that, and your first deposit can be matched up to 100%. Just use the promo code DOGNATION. The website, mybookie.ag. All right, so Auburn's got a new athletic director. It is Alan Green. Green comes to Auburn from Buffalo. He'll have the distinction of being one of the few African-American athletic directors in SEC history. Obviously, Damon Evans was a trailblazer in that regard at the University of Georgia. Green now at Auburn. For Green, he's going to be in a challenging situation, I think, because – you know, on the one hand, I thought Mike Johnson made a pretty good point about this on SEC Country Live yesterday. On the one hand, if things go south for the football program, he can sort of throw his hands up and say, hey, what do you want from me? I'm not the guy that signed Gus Malzahn to this long extension, $7.5 million per year deal for years and years and years. My hands are tied here. And yet, athletic directors are also in sort of a political role here just a bit. And I think politically it can be kind of hard to sort of politely say over and over again, if Malzahn does not do well, that the buyout sort of prohibits us from doing anything with the football position. I think that'll sort of impact Green's popularity there. He's also got to deal with the sort of the scandals for some of the other sports. I don't care as much about that. I mean, you know, that's seemingly something Auburn's dealt with for a long time. I'm sure he'll have sort of strict parameters about how he can kind of handle those situations going forward. But I'm more interested in, you know, his role as serving the football coach, and how well Malzahn does will a long way determine how Auburn fans feel about Green, fairly or unfairly. Juwan Jennings, the Tennessee wide receiver that Georgia fans certainly have no love for, given the result from the 2016 game. says in an Instagram post he's coming back to Tennessee. No official word from Tennessee on this. I know that Jeremy Pruitt, based on reports, has met with Jennings. Philip Fulmer, I guess, had some dealings with Jennings before Pruitt arrived on a full-time basis. So maybe Tennessee's getting its receiver back, Juwan Jennings, who infamously caught the Hail Mary for Tennessee against Georgia back in 2016. Thought that Mel Kiper, the ESPN draft analyst, had an interesting take on Jalen Hurts, saying that right now Jalen Hurts is not a pro football prospect at the quarterback position. And I know this may seem a little harsh, but I mean, from my perspective, it's just true, right? I mean, we know that Hurts is a terrific athlete. We know that Hurts is a sensational leader. He seems to have a real command over the Alabama players who he shared an offense with. But in the half that we saw Tua Tagovailoa play in the national championship game, he's clearly the better player than Hurts right now. So if you want to do what we did to start the show, which is make the comparison between, you know, quarterbacks, Jake Fromm, Justin Fields, Tua and Jalen Hurts, I mean, the situation with Georgia, I'll take both those guys, the combination of Fields and Fromm, over the combination of Hurts and Tua, because while Tua may be sensational, Hurts was the kind of guy that just could be overtaken, and it maybe for Alabama should have happened sooner than it did. Alabama may be lucky that it worked out the way that it did do. One more story for our SEC through, speaking of Mel Kiper, kind of giving some interesting news that from his perspective right now, neither of the two-star LSU players, the running back Darius Geis, the pass rusher Arden Key, right now Kiper doesn't expect either of those guys to be taken in the first round, which is a far cry from where we thought things would be back before the start of the season. Two guys that were thought to have very bright NFL futures, but at least in terms of the first-round money, they may miss out on some of that, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, so to close out Dog Nation Daily today, let me finish the way we always do with our Gator Hater countdown. We believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gator Hater first and foremost, and we count the days down to the Georgia-Florida rivalry every single day, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. 281 days from right now, Georgia will be back against its biggest number one rival in Jacksonville, and we think Georgia's going to get another win there, and that's why we count it down here, our Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater countdown, 281 days from right now. But to go back to what Jeff Sintel was saying on Dog Nation Daily a little earlier, I think it's another one of Georgia's SEC East rivals that's making a little bit more noise right now. I think that Jeremy Pruitt, the Tennessee coach, who I liked when he was defensive coordinator here in Athens, obviously you feel differently about him now that he's head coach at Tennessee. He's a rival quickly being proven worthy of respect, making an impact in recruiting. That's something that Florida's not doing right now. Pruitt seems to be. We'll see you on Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily.